Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday and it's 1:30 p.m. and this is Talk on the Rock. Along with April being National Child Abuse Prevention Month, it also is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Also, this Sunday on May 5th is National Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Indigenous People. Today, we're going to hear from Kevin Gadzi, who is the Rango Cooperative Association's Domestic Violence Prevention Specialist. He was recently hired a couple months ago by WCA, and the Domestic Violence Department is new and is known as WEAVE, which stands for Rango Eliminating Abuse and Violence via Education. He brings forth a lot of experience with outreach and advocacy programs, such as when he worked as an independent living specialist and disability advocate in Wrangell between 2005 and 2011. We're here with Kevin over Zoom now, and listeners can call in to ask a question. The number to KSDK is 874-2345. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for chatting with us today. How are you?
Doing well, Colette. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Just wanted to make sure the tech was working after some of the challenges we had.
Yes, we had challenges and we almost had more too.
Oh my.
Which you were unaware of. But all is good.
I remember my days as a newspaper reporter very well.
Yes.
So I'm definitely appreciative of the work you're doing.
Thank you. Thanks. So, first off, I want to congratulate you on your job, even though you've been there for a couple months now. So congratulations. And will you talk a little bit about your position? What does your job entail?
That's a great place to start, Colette. And I want to just say that, we are working out exactly what the domestic violence prevention program is going to look like for WCA. But we're going to maintain fidelity to the program and to the grant as it was originally written and approved through Indian Health Services. So there's definitely steps involved. And because we're starting now with this, we're going to be doing some of them simultaneously. But there's going to be definitely a period of evaluation for the community, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. And I know people, even in the nonprofit arena, which I've worked in for many, many years, you hear, oh no, another zero. And I want to say that we're going to do this in a meaningful way for Wrangell, and not something that's going to just be put on a shelf. It's going to be something that's going to be able to be used. And I'm working with experts out of Anchorage to help with that process. And actually, I just got word a little while ago that they're planning on coming to Wrangell in person sometime this summer to help make that a reality. We also want to do that quickly because we want to be able to get the information we need and what Wrangell needs, both in the arena of prevention and to preventing domestic violence and abuse, but also to help survivors and victims heal and find new ways forward. Want to be able to do both of those things as quickly as possible. We're going to transition from that into helping be able to bring the community to and community agencies and leaders together as much as people are comfortable with to be able to have discussions about how we can use this funding through the Indian Health Services to best impact both Wrangell Cooperative Association tribal members and Wrangell community members. And we've got some ideas on that, but there's a model out called the coordinated care response coordinated community response team that Duluth, Minnesota has used and basically shared their model to be used in other communities. We may be using that. We may be using a similar model. And then from there, we're going to go ahead and start working on trying to get awareness out in the community through social media marketing. And that's not just Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. That is posters, that's events, and doing a combined effort, to borrow the word weave, to weave the same message that, same message through all of the different entities to be able to reach everybody in Wrangell and the outlying areas of Wrangell and other parts of Southeast with this message that we're going to use the survey and the community needs assessment that I mentioned earlier to be able to really get at what does Wrangell need, first of all. And then how can we communicate that in a message to the people who need it the most?
Okay, great. Thank you.
That is a summary of the next year.
Yes, I was just wondering about the timeline for that because it seems like, it's a lot of coordinating, but I'm just curious how the what the timeline. So you anticipate about a year?
I think we're going to be able to get a lot of this going in one version or another, even in the next few months.
Right.
I don't want to make any promises I can't deliver because I try to be very transparent about things. When I was on the radio with Cindy earlier last week, I said, to quote Billy Joel, "I'm late, but I'm here right now." And there were reasons why I wasn't able to be in Wrangell and be able to be moving on this as quickly as we wanted to, partially because I lost my father last October, and that took some time for me to be able to find healing and be able to help with a lot of those processes that went on.
I'm really sorry to hear about that.
No. I appreciate it. He had a good long life, and we're celebrating that, but it definitely took some time. So.
So, okay. So, can you talk what does coordinated community response, what is that then? You said it's based out of Duluth.
Yes, that's a good question. That we've actually bookmarked a couple of trainings, and I actually found out about another one just earlier today. That we will basically, the idea is you're bringing together community leaders in the agencies and response teams who have the ability, whose programs actually work directly with people who are experiencing all of these ills related to abuse and violence. And I've made a list of about 15 to 16 different entities that might want to sit on that committee. They are going to be people who are going to be decision makers and people who have the information so we can do this, move forward as a community and as a team, for what is the best use of this, of programmatic funds to be able to impact the community. It will also include other people who have personal knowledge, of the experience and can guide us from a very personal level. But at the end of the day, it really needs to be we need to have the community leaders in the room to be able to make these decisions on what to do and how to move forward.
Great. And then, oh, go
Can
ahead.
I also clarify one other thing?
Yes.
There is also something called a CRT, which is either a coordinated or a community response team. And that's another step down the road. We may find in a few years we may want to be able to activate that. Other communities in Southeast Alaska have that. And that is a team that is just a team to be activated if there is a if there is an individual in crisis. So, for example, that team might be made up of emergency responders, the hospital social work team, the a behavioral health specialist, and someone from law enforcement. They are going to, and they would activate if someone comes in through any of those doors who says, I have had a violent or abusive or assault situation. And then they are going to activate the rest of their agencies and and other efforts to be able to really be able to provide direct services to that individual. But that's several levels above what I'm talking about right now. Does that make sense?
It definitely does. Yes, thank you. Wow. Yeah, there's definitely a lot to plan and a lot to look forward to with Weave.
Yes.
I also realize, when you said it's not just social media, it's posters and other ways to get like physically get out there in the community. That's definitely grassroots like. Have you started with the surveys? What are the needs that you know of so far that Wrangell needs?
It's a good question. There's going to be a process to the surveys. I've written one survey that we're going to hopefully hand out in the May 5th event, and people can fill out as much as they want or as feel comfortable with. There's also a process to be able to do a qualitative analysis of interviews with community leaders and those who are knowledgeable about this issue in Wrangell that I'm hoping we'll be able to work on over the summer to be able to get at the heart of what is needed most for Wrangell and Wrangell citizens.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm also curious, so how do you and or domestic violence organizations measure prevention efforts?
That's a great question. I definitely think that there's several different factors involved in that. Several different factors involved in that, but it starts with the beginning process. It starts with the evaluation, and the surveys at the beginning, which we'll be working on, so we can have a baseline to see where we are now, and then to see what public perception has changed, what situations have changed for people. In the as we move forward, 6 months, a year, 3 years, and that's built into the program and the grant. The other factor on this is that tribal communities and tribal organizations have found quite often that the effectiveness for non Alaska Native or non-Indigenous individuals can't, those frameworks that evaluate the success in a multicultural community are not going to be the same as a effectiveness in for within a tribal community. So we're going to have to be able to have some mesh and some adjoining of processes in that discussion to see what's working best for Wrangell, because Wrangell is both Alaska Native and non-Indigenous residents. Now, when I was at the Indian Health Services training in March, which by the way was one of the reasons that slowed me down being able to get there earlier, get to Wrangell, and begin this program a few weeks ago. The training there, they are actually working on it, specifically on developing an Indigenous evaluation, model for these programs so that we can evaluate, what is going to work, within, Tlingit and Haida culture specifically, to be able to help people who have experienced higher levels of abuse and violence statistically, to be able to help them find healing, to be able to find prevention and develop better ways to be able to prevent future violence. And that is coming down the pipes at the federal level. And if anyone is interested in more information on that, I'm glad to share that. And they can email me. I'll share my email at the end of this call. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And that definitely all makes sense, and it's needed, you know. It's also fascinating too. Are you able to share an example of, like, you know, what you learned at the training?
The biggest thing I took away is that from both the Pokagon tribe in Michigan and a tribal program in South Dakota that talked about their similar programs to what we're rolling out here, they said that while this is deadly serious work when we're talking about developing programs to help people who are in crisis, that is very important work. But the programs that create resilience in a community need to be the fun things. They need to be the community fairs. They need to be a family events. They need to be tribal focused methods of classes of making regalia or making or basket weaving or other things. And that's going to change depending on whether we're talking about older generations or younger generations. Both of those groups and other speakers at the event said that where you find synergy on the issue of resilience and domestic violence prevention in a community is when you bring the older generations together with the younger generations, specifically the teenagers. To be able to create a momentum in the community. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I've already had a couple of really promising conversations about that when I was in Wrangell last week.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Again, I want to remind people, listeners, you can call in if you have any questions or comments. The number to KSTK is 874-2345. Okay, Kevin. Okay, so moving on, Weave is putting on an event this Sunday at 3 p.m. at Chief Shake's house. It's for
Yes.
honoring and remembering missing and murdered Indigenous people. Kyle Hopkins, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist from Alaska Daily News, will be the keynote speaker. Will you talk about this event? What are people to expect?
I appreciate you bringing that to the forefront. It basically, we wanted to create an opportunity for people to be able to learn more about the problem in Alaska. And it is a huge problem, both in Alaska and nationwide. Indigenous women specifically have a 10 times higher murder rate nationwide. Alaska has the fourth highest missing and murdered indigenous person cases in the country. And men are not invulnerable. Indigenous men have an 82% higher rate of sexual violence against them compared to non-native, non-indigenous counterparts. And that's one of the reasons why we decided to include all people, because that is the nationwide trend. MMIP Day, it originally began as the Red Dress Day in Canada about 14 years ago, based on research on the internet and other information that I found. it was meant to bring out the fact that we have so many missing and murdered girls and women specifically, and now it's been expanded to include everybody. The Kyle Hopkins specifically won the 2020 Pulitzer Prize for uncovering a lot of these unresearched, undocumented, not followed up on cases throughout Alaska, and actually led to the fact that the United States Attorney General declared a crisis in Alaska and put a lot of funding toward a lot of the problems that were going on in the rural communities and in larger communities such as Anchorage, even. And he's going to be speaking about that, and we're going to be bringing awareness to that. He's going to be bringing awareness both at the event and when he speaks on your radio station on Friday for an interview, and then also at the high school Friday morning for a closed door session with high school students. And we're really appreciative to the Rengel schools for allowing him to speak and share his career in journalism with them. And that, just to clarify, for the schools, he's going to be speaking a lot more about his career as a journalist over the past few decades.
Okay.
One more thing on the event. After he shares his experiences and information, we are going to have a ceremony to both remember those who are missing and who have been murdered and lost, but also a way for those who have experienced trauma themselves and in their family to be able to find resilience and healing. And we are still working the last pieces of that out right now, but we will have that a factor, and that as a closing ceremony for the roughly hour-long session. My hope is that we'll be able to start at 3 and end around 4, because we want to be appreciative of everyone's time.
Okay, great. And then that is at Chief Shake's house at 3 p.m. And I also read that it's encouraged for people to wear red at the event.
Yes, thank you. Red is usually the color associated with MMIP day, and of course red dress. There are some folks who have used purple shawls sometimes as a way of remembrance. All of that will be welcome, whatever you feel comfortable with. Some people also use paint to paint the red hand symbol that's on the poster for this, and other and available either on their own face or on their arms. I know already several people have shared with me and within Wrangell that they've actually had a tattoo of that as a reminder. So that is a very powerful symbol of people wanting to make change and reduce this tragic number significantly, eventually to zero.
Yeah, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add about the Sunday or weave or anything else?
We are going to be using this as a starting place. This is the opportunity for us as a community to be able to use this program and funding through the to be able to impact Wrangell is a massive thing. I want to be able to do that with diligence, but also speed, recognizing that we are it is a major issue that has been long neglected. And I want to just say that we're going to be my goal is for everyone to be able to have a voice in this process and to be able to share what is meaningful and what will bring healing to those who've experienced this in Wrangell.
Okay, great. And you did mention for anybody who has questions to you, how can they reach you?
Yes. My email is dvp.specialist.wca at gmail.com.
Okay, DVP.
And I will be back in Wrangell Thursday through the following Friday, and I'm looking forward to meeting more people. I haven't been able to meet with every community leader yet. We are I'm definitely going as fast as my scooter wheelchair goes. So thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. That was Kevin Gadsey, who is the Wrangell Cooperative Association's Domestic Violence Prevention Specialist. And this Sunday, just a reminder, at Chief Shake's house at 3 p.m., they're honoring and remembering missing and murdered Indigenous people. And that is it. Thank you for listening.